What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's up? It's Metal Shop and Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. This is a guy that we've talked to in the past. He's from a sick death metal band from Portland called Vitriol. And he also has been making some really, really cool guitar straps for his own company called Steel Weather. Kyle Rasmussen, welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
Thanks a lot for having me. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good. It's, you know, been a weird year, but it seems like we're kind of starting to see glimpses of hope. I guess just jump right into it. Like, how have you been, man? You guys were on like one of your biggest tours you guys had done with Abysmal Dawn and Vader. And then the world kind of, you know, happened. The pandemic happened. First off, tell me about how that tour went, and then you know, what have you been up to since?
The tour was great, man. I mean, we did a string of, you know, we basically did hit three of them hard in a row, and we're glad we were able to promote our debut album to some extent. You know, I think we're all just really grateful that we got the tours in. Well, we could. It would have been devastating to have not been able to promote that at all with live performances. So for the first year, so being able to get two European tours and a U.S. tour in, it felt really, you know, like we were able to plant the flag somewhat. Mm-hmm. And coming home, the loss of momentum sucked. You know, it was felt by all of us, but at the same time, we were also very, very tired. You know, we had worked so hard on that album, and to make that first tour with Nihil and Hate Eternal happen, we had to go straight out into that. I was coming from some personal health stuff right after that. And so as much as we all wanted to keep going, because that was our priority, it ended up being a little bit of a blessing in disguise that we're able to come home and rest. And it also gave us an opportunity to jump right into writing for the next release, which would have taken, you know, we probably wouldn't even have started that by now. And we're well into it at this point.
So is that something that you've teased yet to the listeners, or is this kind of, you know, just has there been any official like release date or anything, or is it all pretty much just still in the writing process?
Still in the writing process. We're, like I said, pretty far into it. We just started work on the eighth track. It's going to be
nice
on the full length, and I can give that information. But that's not going to be the first thing you'll hear from us. Well, we're actually in the process of, here's an exclusive announcement. But we had an EP before our EP that went by the title Antichrist that came out in 2012.
Okay.
We promote that because we didn't feel like it was, we really wanted to give that, or 2017 EP or 18 EP, Painful to Find Their Death, kind of the spotlight for a moment.
Yeah.
We didn't, because that was our current, that's kind of our current manifestation. So we really wanted to be in the forefront. But now that album has had, you know, our full length album has had a year plus to move around and be heard. I was approached by a friend, Simon, who runs a little independent label called Total Dissonance Worship.
Okay.
He was a fan of the band, and he was like, man, what do you think we do like a limited deluxe, like 7-inch of that, the first EP. So Adam and I are actually going to go retrack some vocals for it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Give a remix on it. So it's a little less that, you know, we wanted to do something that wasn't just, oh, here's a, you know, a 10-year-old piece of music.
Yeah.
We haven't touched. So, so that will be coming, hopefully, we will be announcing a release date for that in the somewhat near future.
That's awesome. But also, like, I can imagine, you know, I'm not going to speak for you, but I can imagine over 10 years, you've probably progressed and your maybe even your taste has grown a little bit. Is it hard to go back to those songs and not want to just totally reimagine them?
Yeah. At one height, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Like, for, I mean, that's what took so, you know, we really fought with the idea of, I think our creative egos definitely got in the way of the idea of trying to release it at all. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of had to come to the consensus that it's like, man, you know, we did it. We need to, there's no, we are where we are now. We were where we were then. There are some people that appreciate this. If nothing else, you know, there are people that are still fans of that. And again, if nothing else, it will help show people, illustrate more of the journey, you know, and just let it be what it is. I think we're all a little concerned about, we don't want it to be received as new, because we do feel like it is a bit of a regression in terms of where we are now.
Yeah.
But it, there are some, we even wanted to go in and rework some of the guitars, but the budget was such that I was like, and it's probably for the best. It's probably for the best. You know, it's easy to overwork that stuff, and you should just let the past be the past sometimes.
But no techno remixes, right? Like that Morbid Angel, the techno remix album.
Yeah, no, David Vincent remixes here.
Okay. All right. Just checking. Okay. So, you are always sharing like sick guitars on your Instagram feed. And what is your guitar collection like these days, man? It's got to be massive. And then also, what have been like your most recent either purchases or trades or acquisitions? What are you looking at?
It's bittersweet to think about those things. Cause honestly, I was, when I started doing the band full time, the acquisitions pretty much stopped because I walked away from my job.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
To do that. But I have managed to not have to sell or hemorrhage many. But I am getting, my guitar collection is still very healthy. I think I have to count right now. Let me think. I think I have about 19 guitars still.
Okay. Nice.
Solid enough. But the company that I work with, very closely, Demoness Guitars, who built my last main one that I played on tour, we're working on my, for the next album, full custom, I actually designed it. So it's out there. It was kind of like the mission statement was, I want to take all of the, because as you said, I post a lot, not all the guitars I post on my page are mine.
Okay.
Just other people's or ones that I appreciate or whatever. So, but I consider myself an unofficial expert on the pointy guitar.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
So I was like, I was like, I want to be able to do something with all of this, all these opinions and all of this, this hands-on understanding of what makes these guitars great, what makes many of them not so great.
Okay.
Because a lot of point, they've become a controversial thing in the guitar player community for a reason. You know, some of them are done really well and some of them are totally fashion over function and are a nightmare to play. So I was like, what can I want to take, synthesize, distill all the best elements of what makes a more radically shaped guitar actually superior in a lot of ways for me functionally, and then modernize it for the player, the actual player, not the guy who just wants to a crazy looking guitar, but the guy who wants a guitar that will play to the absolute limits without compromising its looks. And I think that I feel very confident that I've designed the ultimate pointy guitar.
The ultimate pointy guitar. That's badass, man. I feel like you have like a really good skeleton here for what would be an amazing YouTube channel. There's like awesome gear channels. Like, my homie Fluff does one, Riffs, Beards and Gear. I feel like the pointy guitar guy, where you just rate and review pointy guitars and talk about all elements of pointy guitarness, would be killer. It would be very niche, but the people who love it would love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard for me to, because I've even recently took a bit of a break from social media, from that Instagram page, because I myself am kind of at this, you have a finite amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure you're investing that time in the right things. And for me, I'm very passionate about guitar playing and pointy guitars, but I'm definitely more passionate about the music that they make and extreme metal music and all that. So for me, I think I found myself at a place where I'm like, I want to make sure I'm still championing the art more than the tools of the art.
Sure.
And I found myself in a place where I don't think I was striking enough of a balance that I felt comfortable with.
Yeah.
So, you know, reemerging, finding a way, like, I don't want to step away from the community and the enthusiasm for the guitars and everything, but I definitely want to make sure I spend time promoting why I love those guitars. And it's because the people who play them and the riffs that they make.
I can relate in a way. I'm not a guitarist myself, but I listen to a lot of podcasts at my day job, and I listen to a lot of podcasts about music. And after a while, I find myself being like, I love listening to podcasts about music, but I also want to just listen to music. So I have to like forcefully just be like, okay, I'm going to stop, like, you know, listening to people talk and wax poetically about these songs and just go out and seek some music and actually just listen to some music and be inspired by some new music. So,
exactly. And I think that that's a great way of illustrating this kind of duality that people sometimes people get stuck in one argument or the other. And that's where, you know, in the back into the context of guitar, you get the people, the minimalists that are like, oh, it's a gear. It's just, you know, like, only people that can't play concern themselves with that. And then there are people who lose themselves so deeply. And like, they have this pedal board with 76,000 pedals, and but they haven't, you know, written a song in 6 months because they're too busy playing with toys. And it's like, you got to find the balance. You got to find that sweet spot, because these toys can be deeply inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Even a new guitar shape can be inspiring. I can vouch for that. Like, just the physics of a guitar can inspire ideas from you, and a new pedal can absolutely do that. But you have to, it takes so much tremendous personal responsibility to be able to exercise that discipline and say, I'm going to have my fun, but I also need to take my medicine in a way.
Yeah.
You know? And writing about music and listening to music, oof, that's one of the classic, you know, and you can tell, it's so easy to tell for those of us that listen to a lot of music, like the people that write about music that spend more time writing about it than listening to it, you know?
Yeah, I totally understand. And, you know, honestly, and this isn't something I imagined I would even bring up with you, but I used to do reviews of albums and CDs and whatnot. And I actually, I still appreciate and totally am down for music journalism, but I felt uncomfortable moving forward with it. And maybe it's because I didn't have as much skill as I thought, but in my mind, I kind of stopped because I felt like I'm not a songwriter. I'm not a musician. I've never put anything out there. So I didn't feel comfortable critiquing other people's art when I haven't created, you know, like I could call someone like a Crowbar clone, but I've never started a Crowbar clone band. So I don't know. I've never, you know, I'm not a musician myself, so I didn't feel comfortable doing that. And there are people who can do that, and that's great, but I just didn't, you know, I just felt kind of weird about it. So, but that's another thing.
Yeah, I think that's a very noble concern to have that I think a lot of people don't, you know, have even sometimes enough humility to consider that even a line that they're crossing. But I think you can, like, there are nine out of 10 album reviews, I think, would better off not existing. And it's because most of them don't observe that line in the sand. And I think great reviewers that are listeners, they understand that getting a thoughtful illustration of what a seasoned listener is receiving from something, that's the role of a music journalist. If you're reviewing music, it should be, you're an expert. We hope you should be. You know, you should be, if you're writing about it, you should be an expert. And so we're hoping to get in just almost like a film analysis. Mm-hmm. No, I don't really care what you think personally about if this movie's good or if this movie's bad. Tell me what this movie did.
Okay.
You know, tell me what it did to you. You know what I mean? So, and so I think people get too value opinions too much. It starts becoming this like the ratings thing is nonsense to me. This like 7 out of 10,
yeah,
5 out of 10. It's like, that drives me nuts. But it's like, you can tell me sorry to get on a soapbox about
it. We're on it.
Any journalists are listening to this, stop doing albums that you just don't like. Like, it wastes everyone's time. Like, if I wasn't going to like it, I wasn't going to listen to it. And if I do like it, your dumb, pretentious ass isn't going to convince me not to like it. So why don't you spend your time in a more constructive way elevating the artists that you do like? Because time is finite, and it is more valuable to everyone to spend all of your time championing the things that are great and just tell us what you think is great about it and how it moved you. And not about how someone failed at doing something that they probably put more of themselves into than you did in any review that you made.
Nice. So
it's like, don't, it's one of those classic Bambiisms, man. Of like, if this is coming from a metal guy who spits on people at my shows, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. You know, that's how you get spit on.
Yes. Okay, well, okay, so going along with that, and I'm going to come back to pointy guitars here in a second, but I wanted to ask you, because we're talking about, you know, music and everything and inspiration of music, what's the last metal album that really inspired you?
Oh, man. Very recently, actually, I listened to an album by a band, a Canadian band called Panzerfaust.
Okay, I've seen the name. I haven't listened to it.
Yeah, it's funny because I'll out myself here for, like, I heard the name, the band name, and I brushed it off because I'm like, oh, this is just going to be another like Marty clone or something.
That's exactly what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, I found out they were from Canada.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, even more obnoxious. You know what I mean? And I was so wrong. I was so tremendously wrong. Like, I was, and I'm so glad I was, because their new album is not the Faustian Path. That's the name of the album. I need a little check. But they did this thing that so managed to find a sound. I can't do it justice by sitting here and trying to describe it to you. But it's great. I think it's very, very good. I found the album incredibly inspiring, both musically and lyrically.
Okay.
That's great. Are you familiar with that band? I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, I'm sure. Nordjevil?
What was it?
O-R-D-J-E-B-E-L.
No.
Yeah, it's a crazy band. It has dudes from Merkskog.
Okay.
And Destructor, the guy that played guitar in Morbid forever next okay. to Trey. The long red hair and the bandana, that dude. He's in it. And then Dominator from Dark Funeral.
Nice.
And it's insane, wiry, spindly, acrobatic, modern black metal that blasts faster than anything I've heard. Oh, and the Sons of Perdition is the name of that.
Panzerfaust. I'm going to look that up after the interview. Thank you for the recommendations. I was jamming the new Cannibal Corpse album. I know it's a little bit more quote unquote mainstream metal, but that's a killer album.
Crushing. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that's not so buried in there that has really hit me over the last year. But yeah, that new Cannibal album is, I think that's going to be their biggest album since Kill.
I think it's their best in quite a while, and it's so cool to see Eric Rutan like actually a part of like writing now, and like it's dude, he is such a beast.
Oh, and you can just tell. Whoops, what just happened? Can you still see me?
I can't see you, but I can see a little image of your band at the lake or something. There you are. Nice.
Yeah, I think his sound is just his style. It's peanut butter and jelly, man. I think it's of course regrettable what happened with Pat, and we all miss mm-hmm. Pat. It goes without saying. But if someone had to take up the helm, obviously
Eric Rutan,
available and willing to do so.
Did you get to bro down with him at all? Like when you guys toured with Hate Eternal and Nile, I imagine that'd be pretty cool to hang out with, you know, Carl Sanders and Eric Rutan. That's a pretty good couple of dudes to hang with.
That was such an incredible, and I'm glad that you asked that, because I'm happy I get to share this with people that are listening, is that, you know, life has given me a lot of reasons to become a cynical dude when it comes to people. And, you know, I've always been trusted the old adage, you know, don't meet your heroes. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of anxiety going into the show, going into it, because I'm like, one of these dudes just rock star me or like whatever. Like, oh, it's just devastating. Like, these guys are why I play music, you know? Mm-hmm. It couldn't have been further from the truth. You know, it was just like, they were it was the most inspiring tour. Because not only were these guys, to me, like the cream of the creative crop that our genre has to offer, but they were like still so excited about metal. You know what I mean? Like they're so excited about what they were out there doing and why they were doing it. And it was just so reinvigorating, because being on lower tour, like being coming up as a musician, you see a lot of bands that haven't experienced a fraction of the success or whatever, that are already jaded, burnout, whatever. And then you learn, like, well, that's the secret. The secret is not becoming that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the secret. It's not that, like, oh, what a coincidence that these guys are nice and they're at the top of their field. It's like, no, they're at the top of their field because they made it there because they learned to appreciate it, and they have a genuine love and passion for what they do and the art that they make. And
they've also been doing it for so long, and it's like underground death metal, that I think that they probably don't have any delusions that they're going to be rich rock stars, and that they're just grinding it out, and that all bands are on the same level if you're still like true about passionate about death metal. I mean, they've seen the ebbs and flows of the popularity and the music, and they're still doing it. So that's just me analyzing it.
They are, you know, you're dead on. You're dead on. And I think it carried them through incredible hardship. But it's also like, and I'll say it if they're listening, it's like, I think they put up with too much. You know, I think that they've over humbled themselves, because they've made it, they've had to accept to expect so little. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And it's like, man, like some things that they're just, you know, even little things that some of the, I'm not encouraging them to have like to treat people poorly or anything like mm-hmm. that, but the certain things that they still, you know, how certain venues would still, you'd think that Carl Sanders and Eric Rutan would get a little more preferential treatment, but they don't, and they don't mind.
Okay.
And, I think that's great. And, but man, it would be nice if we could, do a lot more to exalt the people that have inspired so many, and it would be cool. I'd like to try to do that. And that's why I like to celebrate, you know, the classics a lot in my online presence and stuff. Cause it's yeah. like, man, someone has to make sure that history knows that these are the guys that did this, because they're too humble to say it. They're, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, let's do that. Let's talk about the classics, man. Like what are the like death metal albums that got you into the genre?
Ooh, yeah. Well, it's actually funny, but the death metal album, this is a funny one. The death metal album that got me into death metal wasn't a good one. But it was, it inspired me. The very first death metal song I ever heard was from 6 Feet Under.
Okay. Yeah. What was it? TNT?
Thank God it was not. No.
Okay.
I think it was like Murdered in the Basement or something. It was something off of Maximum Violence. And I didn't really have any sort of opinion on the song at that point. I just heard Chris Barnes' vocals and I was like, yeah, this is what I'm doing. Like, this is what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
But as far as the albums that really, really like made me fall in love with death metal that I think are pinnacles, but you know, for me, Failure for Gods by Immolation,
mm-hmm.
really, really important album for me. Despise the Sun by Suffocation. I know
that's
a lot of people love that EP, but I, that totally seduced me. And then I loved everything else that they did before that. When I went back and, you know, ate up the whole catalog.
Yeah.
Suffocation was a really formative band for me because they had that, you know, they weren't afraid to blend the technical chops with the slams, and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really inspiring for me. Nile, Annihilation of the Wicked was an album that album specifically shaped a lot of my guitar work and how I approach writing songs on the guitar. But I would say the one that influenced me the most as far as Vitriol sound was I Monarch by Hate Eternal.
Nice. Wow. Okay.
That album was really like the turning point where I was like, oh, it was like, it was the death metal for death metal fans.
Because
mm-hmm. dissonant and chaotic, and it didn't, you know, it was, it had more teeth on it, and it was scary. I remember the Behold Judas music video was on that on demand, and I'm watching my friend's apartment like 10 years, however long ago,
mm-hmm.
much ago. And he was sort of into extreme metal, but he was more into like hardcore and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're watching this video and I'm just like, totally fucked. And I turn to my friend at the time, Brock, he's like literally sweating. He's like, dude, this gives me anxiety.
Yes. And
I was like, yes, this is it. So that was existentially, it sounds silly to say, but that album was like, there was this kind of atmosphere to it, this really oppressive trauma, this just like, yeah, man, it was just, there was this magic on that album that I was like, I want my music to do that. I want my music to be that visceral.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Even Demigod by Behemoth.
Yeah.
Was
a great album.
It was so muscular and mm-hmm. so driving and unapologetic in its how kind of Neanderthalic it was.
Yeah.
And
it's funny that it's funny how you mention Hate Eternal like that, because I have a friend named Travis, and a shout out to my friend Travis. He is the biggest Hate Eternal fan that I know, diehard Hate Eternal fan. And he told me when he first heard him, he was like, is this too extreme? He was like, I think this might be too extreme. And then he just listened more and more and fell in love with it because it was just the most extreme thing at the time. So,
yeah,
I mean, and they're still at it.
Yeah, and that still is, man. You listen to especially the first two albums. Conquering the Throne is, to me, when people, I have said it in the past that, like, that is, if I had to pick the Desert Island death metal album, it's Conquering the Throne by Hate Eternal. Like, that's it. That is pinnacle death metal to me in spirit, you know, not just in sound, but in spirit. Like, that album hates you. That album wants you to die. A horrible death, you know, like that album is so angry and does not and wants it is expecting you to feel like it's too extreme.
Yeah.
And it has that kind of punk rock view. Yes, it's too heavy because that's how I feel, you know, like,
yeah,
that's that had that honesty to it that just was so, yeah. I have goosebumps talking about it, man. That he's the man. Eric Rutan's the man.
That's awesome, man. So, okay. Well, I'm curious about, we were talking about inspiration and, I don't want to get off the subject of Hate Eternal, but I do want to ask you about, so I have a friend, who is in a band as well. And he told me, we caught up recently and he told me, you know what? I haven't really been listening to music lately because I've been writing music. He said he's been just trying to focus on his own music and not listening to other music. Not being a musician myself, I'm curious, when you're deep in the mode of like writing music, do you find inspiration from other artists or do you have to kind of immerse yourself in just what you're making?
Oh man, I get inspiration from other. I have to constantly be listening. You know, I believe. I mean, everyone has their own process. You know, I think a lot of people create music and aren't. You know, I mean, I know for a fact a lot of people create music and aren't much listeners of music anymore. But for me, it's. I believe deeply that music and art in general is a conversation, and that's my relationship with it. And I'm a fan first and foremost, and I became a practitioner just because I knew what I wanted to hear and I wasn't hearing it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, and I can in that way, because my desire to create was born from an understanding of the landscape of the music. If that makes sense, that like, it can only sustain itself through continued observation of the landscape.
Yeah.
Because vitriol is more of an answer to what I want to hear is a devout metal fan. And that changes as the landscape changes.
Yes.
You know? So, and also like, I don't always have good ideas and I have to steal better ones from other people.
Hey,
I
mean, there you go. Yeah.
Come on. I mean, why else do you listen to what other guys are doing? So you can steal it because it's sick. No. Hopefully very respectfully.
a nod there and there, right?
Exactly. But yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I just like, ugh, I applaud the confidence of people that are like, I got it. You know, like, I that's great. And I'm sure like a lot of great music is made that way. I'm not, you know, being patronizing. I know my process and I think that, I would suffer, if I wasn't like eating music all the time.
Nice.
I have periods for sure. Especially if I find something I fall in love with, I'll immerse myself in it sometimes for months at a time.
Yeah.
And that'll block off new shit. But then I'll go through like this, you know, like a bear going into hibernation, you know, I'll like,
yeah,
go myself on stuff, filter it out and then go into my, you know, go and soak in it.
Are you a physical media person? Are you more MP3s, streaming? Do you, I mean, I know a lot of, so like people are vinyl, but I know a lot of like death metal heads are CD only. They just, yeah, for some reason, death metal heads love the CDs. They will not let CDs go. And I'm one of them. So, what do you prefer?
It's such a unique thing to death metal CDs. It's like we're the only fans that like, it's so
keeping
it's so
CDs funny. Around. Yep.
So funny. I like vinyl because I'm a novelty guy, you know, like I love the big picture, you know, album art, because I love everything about an album. And as someone who makes like albums, I know how much thought goes into the entire format.
Yeah.
And I think musicians would make the argument that you're not totally in taking the whole thing unless you have the art and the with that being said, I don't really have the financial resources to be an avid collector of vinyl because it's very expensive.
Yeah.
So I usually do my, I would have like, I'd get my like top five albums of a year.
Yeah.
Kind of thing like that. Just so I have kind of a memento.
Yep.
And, I haven't listened to most of my vinyl, you know, most of it's just, I just listen to it on Spotify and I have it as a token, a party thing, you know,
it's there. In case Spotify ever dies, and how crazy would that be if all of a sudden the entire cloud of Spotify were to die and people that sold their music collections were like, wait a second, what the hell?
Yeah.
Anyways, it's there just in case.
Got a doomsday prep those. That's why all those slam nuts have 10,000 CDRs in their basement.
Speaking of slam nuts, I have a question for you, dude. And this is something specifically to Bandcamp and Slam. What is it with the sick amount of slam music being produced by children in Indonesia?
Dude, it's so funny you ask that, because I have been kind of in my little cultural exploration lately on social media, because while I haven't been participating that much, I'll still hop on there.
Oh yeah.
Trying to find all these, like, it started because I remember noticing it about, I want to say, 8-7 years ago. I started noticing some of these Indonesian death metal thing happening, but now it's gotten to the point where it's like these bands, like there's this Indonesian death metal page that's just about Indonesian death metal, and it has like 500,000 followers. And then like their death metal bands that are in Indonesia, that like there's a band called Burger Kill. Have you heard of this band?
I have not, but it sounds great.
They're not a slam band. They've been around since the 90s. They're like death metal, hardcore. It's actually not that bad. But they are like, it seems like they're like people back in Indonesia.
Wow.
I don't Rock know stars. What's going on over there, but it's like, and they have this thing called Dead Squad.
Okay.
They have like all these like collectives. It seems like that whole country is just run on death metal.
Dude. Ah, oh, man. So next time when the world opens up, you need to make sure when you do a Vitriol world tour, Indonesia for Vitriol.
I want to so bad. I'm not kidding. I mean, I think just as a fan, like as a fan of death metal, I think it's fascinating what's going on over there. Genuinely.
Yeah.
Like not being funny. Like I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
How can we do that?
There needs to be a documentary about them. Like one of those like metal headbangers journey, like banger films. That would be really cool to see like a behind the scenes, you know, like a Vice style documentary behind the scenes of the Indonesia death metal gangs. Yeah.
Any movers and shakers listening, contact me, bro. I'll be your guy.
Yeah.
I'll go deep. I want to know. I want to see, like, it seems like they're having a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. The music they're making is insane. You know, like a lot of it is crazy. But yeah, it's I'll be the guy. I'll be the dude. And I love their, I don't know if all of the Broken English titles, I think the Broken English stuff is like a style.
Okay.
In of itself.
Yeah.
Like, so all the titles are so hilariously mistranslated.
Yep.
That has to just be part of it. And I love that they're having fun with it. And, it's just, they're sick and awesome. It's great.
Right on, man. Okay. Well, I had to throw that question in there. So I just have a couple more questions for you, but I'm curious, it looks like you're in a really cool setting right now. Is this your house, or you have a really cool, like fan above you, or looks pretty gnarly looking?
Yeah, I'll give you a little tour. I'll see, let you see my partner and my friend here.
All right.
So yes, I am in my house. It's actually in my studio room.
Oh, cool. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
And there's my guitar.
Oh, there's your 19 guitars.
Yeah, there's some of them right there.
Sick.
Here's a little living room and my some records and some heavy metal paraphernalia. And
I like it. Baphomet. Yep.
Yeah, all the good stuff. And then, yeah, this is where the magic happens.
Nice. This was Death Metal Cribs, a very short version of Death Metal Cribs.
Yeah, this is where the whole next Vitriol album was written and will be continued to be written.
You know, we got so nerdy in the weeds here, I almost forgot to plug your company, Steel Weather. Let's talk a little bit about that. So this is, speaking of like how dangerous and those guitars that you play seem to look, like I can imagine you'd probably get stabbed if you were to move wrong with those guitars. Now, add that to some of the most fierce looking guitar straps, and that's Steel Weather, dude. So tell me about it, man. And like, how'd you start? And just tell me a little bit about Steel Weather.
Yeah, it was an answer to a simple question when COVID happened, and the tours weren't happening. I knew I had to, and my job prior to this was I was a body piercer for 11 years.
Wow.
So obviously I wasn't going to go back to that job, right?
Yeah.
During COVID. So I was like, I'm either working at a grocery store or I got to figure something out. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to continue. I didn't want to stop talking with metalheads, I guess you could say. So, and I had a passion. I have a passion for metal guitars, and I was like, well, I'm not going to build guitars anytime soon.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of people doing that well. So, what had happened, I bought a big spiked guitar strap from a buddy of mine that had 25 years, super old. And a lot of people kept asking, where'd you get it? And I'm like, oh, from a buddy. And I don't know where you can get them now.
Yeah.
The guy who builds my guitars really wanted one, and I scoured eBay for one that looked cool and couldn't find a damn thing. So I'm like, well, people seem to trust my opinion about guitars. I trust my opinion about guitars. Why not make the other half, accessorize them for people?
Yeah.
So that's when my partner Sophia and I decided that we just make them and try to figure it out. And it was hell. And wanted to quit several times making a strap. As guitar strap is, we didn't know anything. We didn't know how to sew.
Yeah.
We didn't know. I'd never worked with any sort of material like that before, so it was just a total dive in thing, watching YouTube videos how to invested in a machine. And so anyway, that was just a way for us to stay involved, contribute to the metal community, and
be creative. Probably like during that time where it was like COVID just started, I was going crazy. I had to figure out a routine.
Yeah, I'm glad you. I was just spacing that point, but that was a huge thing for me. It was just another way. And I was feeling especially, I remember at that time, I was like, I'm so tapped on Vitriol. Like, I'm so, like, I just have nothing in me to think about, like, writing a song. But I knew I had all this creative energy that I needed to do something with.
Yeah.
So this was a logical outlet. And really just it sounds a little hokey, but our small way of trying to elevate the whole metal guitar thing just a little higher, you know, whatever we can do to make it taken a little more seriously. Like if people are interested in high end handmade boutique spiked guitar straps, well, that says something, you know,
that says
something about the position of the people that want to play guitar like that and want to present and has that kind of aggressive relationship with their playing and the attitude of the metal guitar. So I think it's really cool just to get that sort of validation.
And if you want, a guitar strap, a high-end boutique guitar strap with spikes all over it. It might be, you know, a really cool leather. Where can people find it?
It is steelweatherdesigns.com.
Awesome.
We're Steelweather on Instagram. And all of our stuff is actually 100% vegan. It's all made.
Cool. Okay.
But for the people that are concerned about durability or whatnot, it's all made from the same stuff, like the same stuff Harley uses to put on their motorcycle seats. You know, cool. It's high grade automotive upholstery vinyl. Nice. That is waterproof. You know, I still have the very first one I made. You could beat that thing against a wall for a month and it's going to survive the apocalypse. So
do you have one around you on hand? You could show the camera.
Oh yeah.
Nice, dude. These things are badass. I'm stoked to see this. Oh man, he's got a bunch. Holy crap. Dude, those are gnarly. Is that a camo?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So yeah, this is a camo. So that's the other nice thing about the vinyls is that if you do vinyl, you have a lot more, we get to have a lot more fun. So we do like a, you know, faux croc, faux
yeah.
one, you know, all sorts of stuff. You can,
that's sick, man.
And get creative and they last longer and they all come in their own personalized ammo can.
Yeah, I saw Taylor Young had one on. He posted Taylor Young posted one, and I was like, "Oh, I think I recognize those. I think those are Kyle's." And I think it was. Yeah. Oh.
So we order these.
That's sick.
Straight from the base on through the internet, and then all of these are all handmade completely by Sophia and I, and then I stencil and spray paint all these by hand.
So that's so cool.
They're coming straight from us. No middle people here.
So. That's awesome, man. Hell yeah.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about that.
Absolutely. So again, steelweatherdesigns.com. Okay, now I got to ask, have you ever been stabbed by one of your guitars or your strap?
On stage? Hand to the Dark Lord. Have never done it.
Okay.
It sounds like a safety sales pitch, but I just haven't. It's like maybe that day will change. That fact will change. But I have managed to the way that my head swings around. And I headbang like a maniac too. Yep. So it's kind of a miracle. I have ripped out a few strands of hair, but other than that, I'm puncture free.
All right. Right on, man. Okay. Well, so we're looking forward to the new Vitriol as you're writing it. And my last question for you, man, if you could pick a scar on your body and show us, if you can, tell us the story of how you got the scar.
Oh, that's easy.
Nice.
Well, this one's easy. This one's fun because if you look closely, I don't have a belly button.
No, you really don't. Whoa.
This here was my old belly button, but this is just a hole. So I have Crohn's disease.
Oh, okay.
I had a perforated intestine. So that means my was filling up stuff it wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
Cut me open, fix it, and then it failed. So they had to do it again. And then I got a... I have great photos left to send to you.
I imagine my cousin had the same thing and they had to cut out so much of his intestines.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it's bad. Like I have to say, that's why it's harder for me to keep on weight and put on weight. It's mm-hmm. All sorts of vitamins because I don't absorb the right amount of nutrition now. And my stomach's about the size of a peanut. It feels like I just haven't worked the appetite back up. And so it's, that was a nightmare. 3 months in the hospital. And
when was that?
That was at the very end of 2018. So our EP was just being released. Our very first EP was just being released.
God damn.
And I'm got signed to Century Media like 2 months after I got out of the hospital. I was still addicted to pain medication when that happened. I was just kicking that, and then was able to kick that by I went through like all my 20s totally sober, ended up kicking the pills by getting the weed, and then went straight into the European tour, cold turkey, no pot.
Yeah.
And I was like, you should interview my bandmates about how I was doing on that tour.
Angry.
Ooh, buddy. You know, like, man, you know that that's my dream when I'm like, yep, I'm just going to, because, you know, you can't bring, I was like, hopefully someone's going to have weed there. But of course, I didn't want to be that new guy that's like asking people, hey, man, you know where to get
got some weed. Yeah.
Weed, bro. So I was just like sweating it, just hot death metal for a month and nightmare. But it was good for me.
Yeah.
Purged that. But that was my long, that was, it's funny, we tied it all into the very beginning where I'm saying wasn't great when pouring extensively. And that's the whole backstory is I lost literally 100 pounds. I was 200 pounds when I went to the hospital, and I was like 98 pounds when I left.
God damn.
Yeah. And I, you know, it was basically that trying to kick. You know, after being on a morphine for 3 months, you try to leave the hospital without an opiate addiction, and the hell of that. Anyway, you know, it's much more common than people talk about. So anyone listening knows, either you've dealt with it or someone you know has dealt with it.
Oh yeah.
We don't, you know, so it is what it is, but man, that's hell. Yeah, it's so hard. I'm sitting here anxiously like, but, you know,
but you get out and then you immediately go into tour and you're signed. And it's like, man, if this isn't something to live for, man, this is something to live for.
No kidding. So, or, you know, it's every day is kind of an exercise in just trying to understand how to deal with that opportunity responsibly and how to communicate that gratitude responsibly to the listeners and the world. And it's hard, you know, you just want to, I'm very grateful. And it's easy to let go of things that are hard to let go of when you can feel that grateful for things. So, you know, if you're having a hard time out there, find something that's more important.
Yeah.
And apply yourself to that and let it do its work.
But before we go, I do want to mention you are on Century Media, and I would be stoked to see, you know, when the world opens up. It's a couple bands that I gotten really into, new albums on Century Media, Frozen Soul and Sanguisugabog. I would love to see a Vitriol, Sanguisugabog, Frozen Soul, Century Media world tour. That would be sick.
Yeah, man. That, yeah, those bands are killing it, man. That new Frozen Soul. We played with them at Gas Monkey in Texas.
Okay, nice.
Leveled that crowd. Leveled that. They're definitely just a absolutely crushing live band. So they would be. I haven't had the opportunity to see Sanguisugabog live, but it would definitely be a steamroller.
Oh yeah.
So those guys are definitely an active. Physical band. So
nice.
A lot of fun to watch.
Well, I look forward to seeing them, and I also look forward to Vitriol, and thank you so much for taking the time, man. I know this interview went a little longer than I probably intended to, but it's awesome to chat with you and to get a tour of your stuff and to even get to see your no belly button belly button.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate the interest and the time, and I'm genuinely flattered and honored. And thanks to everyone that listened.
That, now check out steelweatherdesigns.com, and then To Bathe from the Throat of Cowardice is the Vitriol record to check out. And again, thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.